Welcome to Call to Freedom with Barbara Carmack. This is Jimmy Lakey, and I'm delighted that you are joining us for this half hour. You can reach Call to Freedom at Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237, or by going to the website at www.freedomstreet.org. If you want to leave a message or order a Word-powered daily reading Bible guide or a Freedom Street Express newsletter, you can call us toll-free at 1-866-917-7256 and leave your name and address, including your zip code. If you want to talk to Barbara right now, she is expecting your call. You may call that same toll-free number, 1-866-917-7256, to speak to her. And now, let's join Barbara in the studio.
Today on this Encore show, Darren and I talk about the people that you spend time with in this life. It's so important that you tell the people around you how much you love and appreciate them. You may have friendships with people for only a season, but you have fellowship with God forever. Life can be lonely and throw you a curve, but God can fill that lonely void in your life. We discuss the relationships with God by reading Psalm 24 and 25. Friend, we must strive to have pure hearts and worship God and not this world. May you find your path to peace. Now let's join the program.
Well, in today's show, we're going to talk about being a friend with God and fellowship with the Lord. And I think that's so important. A lot of people don't know they can fellowship with the Lord. They don't see God as their friend.
I know. Darren, when you were growing up and you know, going to college, and there were probably a lot of guys in the dorm, and you thought, I'm just always going to be around friends. Did you think that, or did you think about it at all? Did you think that you were going to have a lot of friends when you were growing up?
To be honest with you, I didn't even think about it.
I
must have assumed, you know, maybe I took it for granted that there would always be people around that I knew that cared about me, and I cared about them, and they accepted me, and I accepted them, and you know, when I think about it, we had some real strange characters in our dorm, and maybe I was one of them. I don't know. Maybe they thought I was weird, but yeah, I think so. You think, well, you'll always have friends, but I remember very clearly standing in the hallway of the high school where I graduated, and my dad said, take a good look at these kids. You'll never see them again. I thought,
oh, you're crazy, Dad.
I'm dead. I see them every day. What are you talking about? We all live here. You know, since I graduated, I've seen one friend, and there were 110 in my high school class. So, you know, things were, as he said, you won't see him again.
You won't see him again. Wow. That is amazing. I think back of my college days, and I was 1,200 miles away from home. I didn't know anybody, not one person on that campus.
You must have been a lost little farm girl. In the big city.
I was in Los Angeles. And I think of my first year there, and except for traveling in a quartet and being part of the music program, I really did feel alone. And then as I got older and went through my junior and senior years, and I was a candidate for homecoming queen in my junior year, so I had a lot more friends then. But you're right. When I left that campus my senior year, except for reunions, we've had a couple, three reunions. I haven't seen any of them. I haven't known about any of them. I haven't been close to any of them. You know, they for the most part, they all live in California, and I've lived in Colorado. So it's amazing how these things happen. And if we don't have God as our friend, Darren, oh, life can be so lonely.
You know, I really wonder how it's conducted in heaven, if they're going to have a big family reunion or a big reunion or, you know, what's going to go on in heaven. God must have something like that planned. He must have.
Yeah,
I mean, I want to believe that he does.
Well, friendship with the Lord is so important. And there have been times, and I know you have spoken of times when you were alone and you were in that motel room in Estes Park and your whole world had come crashing down.
It had.
And you were alone, and there were times, desperate times in my life, when I have felt totally alone. When I came home after burying John, and I took Dana to the airport and off to school again, and lonely moments, coming to a house that no longer had the children there and my husband wasn't there. Lonely moments, if it weren't for the Lord, And I know that you woke up the next morning in that motel room, and God had filled that void.
Well, it's because I prayed. You know, I was hurting so desperately. And I was at a low point in my life. I thought I'd lost everything. I lost my family, and I missed my grandson. I thought I've even lost Dusty. And
well, I didn't mean to make you this.
Well, it's a very emotional memory for me, because I remember crawling into bed, and I cried myself to sleep. I had my knees up against my chest in a fetal position. I just wanted to die. I mean, I thought, what is this life worth living for? What, I don't have anything to live for now. And so I know that sense of intense loneliness and loss. And you know, I prayed to the Lord. I said, I've got a hole as big as me, as big as the Grand Canyon, and I'm asking you to fill it. And then I cried and I went to sleep. And I woke up the next morning, and that gap in the middle of me had been filled.
That's right.
I drove out of Estes Park that next morning with that gap having been filled by the Lord Himself. He filled it up with Himself.
Well, you can just feel a little bit like King David felt in Psalm 24. And these are psalms that David wrote when he was a lot older. He had been king for many years. The commander of his armies had said, King David, you stay home. You know, you have done your fighting. You're a great warrior. You've taught us a lot. But now's the time to stay home. You know, you're worth 10,000 of us, and we want you to stay in the palace. Well, Psalm 24.
Well, that's really a changing of the guard.
It really is.
And you can say, well, the old man ought to be happy. Well, how could you be happy? You know, he was used to going to war. He was a warrior.
That's right. That was his identity. You know, that was.
He was
and
a
so
warrior.
In verse 3, it says, who may climb the mountain of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? What questions to ask the Lord? And you know that David was a friend of God, just like Abraham. He came to God in his worst moments. He came to God in his best moments. He always consulted with God.
You know, when God brought discipline on his head at one point, he said, God, don't turn me over to my enemies. I'd rather have you discipline me.
Mm-hmm, that's right.
And he knew God would be fair.
Yes. So we see here in Psalm 24 that those who stand before God have pure hearts and pure hands. There is no defilement. There is nothing hanging on them of the left from the world. They have pure hearts, pure intent, and pure hands. And you know, you say, well, David sinned. Yes, but God forgave him. See, as you listen today, God has forgiven you as you have confessed your sins. And God treats you as a blessed child of His. And Darren, that's such a blessing, so important.
Well, you know, I think about that. In fact, 1 John 1:9 is a wonderful scripture for us Christians, because that's where you can balance the books. You can go to the Lord and say, all right, I've sinned. I've done something wrong. And I realize that I admit that it's wrong. I admit that I've sinned. And would you please forgive me? And that verse says He's faithful and just to forgive you and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness.
That's right.
He says, I'm going to do it all for you. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to leave anything undone.
David didn't have that scripture. David didn't have that scripture at all. He just had God's faithfulness. He knew God had come through for him in so many ways. So first of all, who stands before God? Those who have pure hearts and pure hands. Number two, those who worship God. They do not worship idols. They do not worship mammon. And there in Matthew 6:24 is so good. No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and material things or riches, mammon.
Well, you know, I think that David, in his early life, met the lion and he met the bear. Mm-hmm. I feel sorry for people that never had a lion or a bear in their life, because they've never taken it to the wall. They've never found out that God really is going to come through when there's no other options. They have never found that out.
People that have their lives so secure and so sure, they've never had to step out in faith, have they? They've never had to step out and by faith test God. You know, God says, test me and prove me. I'm here. I'm here for you. And so, number two, the one who stands before God in his holy place is the one who worships God. He doesn't worship idols. And number three is one who never lies. those who tell the truth, they never tell lies, number three. And so that's important for you to know, friend, that you have a pure heart and pure hands. You get rid of defilement around you. You worship God. You don't worship idols. And you tell the truth. You don't tell lies.
You know, I think about that scripture in Psalm 26:4 that says, I do not sit with deceitful, worthless men, nor will I associate with liars and hypocrites.
Wow.
Now, I'm going to say this. Even if you don't lie personally, you need to stay away from liars.
That's right.
Because what happens is when you lie, words are so important, it scrambles the spirit world around you or around those that do lie, mm-hmm. that are untruthful. And you don't want to have to live that way. I mean, you need to stay away from those characters.
That's right. Psalm 1 tells about it too. Oh, the joys of those who do not follow the advice of the wicked or stand around with sinners or join in with scoffers. But their delight is in the law of the Lord, and in His law do they meditate day and night. And it's so important to tell the truth. Never tell lies. And Psalm,
now, what we're talking about here is a pathway to peace, inner peace. And, you know, I think about sometimes I go out on my patio at the back and I look at the backyard and I think, you know, I can sit here on this chaise lounge or sit at a chair at the table or whatever without any worries. There are no conflicting thoughts in my mind.
Isn't that great?
I don't have to sort a bunch of garbage. Mm-hmm. I don't have to stop and put some weird thought down because it's tormenting me. I don't have to do that because I am at peace. And that's a wonderful thing.
Isn't it? Oh, Darren, so many people wish they were in your place. They really do. So Psalm 26:4 says, I will not sit with deceitful or worthless men, nor will I associate with liars or hypocrites. And Psalm 26:10 says, I do not spend time with people who plan wicked schemes and whose hands are full of bribes. Now, when I think of wicked schemes, Darren, you know, we can think of, you know, con artists and that kind of thing. I'm going to go into the Christian world. And, you know, you've talked many times about guys in the church who have had wonderful plans and opportunities for the people and have just taken them down. And, you know, we talk about Ponzi schemes and pyramids.
Well, first of all, let's talk about what is a Ponzi scheme. A lot of people don't know what that is. Unless you've run into it, you wouldn't know. But a Ponzi scheme worked like this. In fact, in Fort Collins, there was one going on. The guy was promising these people great return on their money. And the new money that came into his hands, he would pay the people so that they thought they were getting extraordinary interest on the money. And so he always looked for a new crop of victims because he wanted to pay back the money that he'd promised the people in the first place. And I remember a doctor friend of mine, and I knew him fairly well. He'd been invited out to this man's house, and he said, we're going out there. There's a whole bunch of people going. And it sounded to me like the who's who of Fort Collins. Well, this doctor said to me, well, you weren't invited because you don't have any money.
Praise God.
Well, let me tell you, at the time, I took it as a real put down, as a real hurt. Uh-huh. But let me tell you the end of that story. There were doctors that invested with this guy. There was a contractor that I knew personally. And this doctor had to come back from retirement in Arizona and open up a practice so he could live, so he could pay his bills. In other words, this guy had taken all of his money, squandered it. Mm-hmm. That was a Ponzi scheme. Now, I've known too many people that were into what you call an arbitrage. And an arbitrage is illegal. But it's how do I get foreign money into the country, you know, through some scam deal. I've known a number of people that said, well, we're trying to bring gold into the country, but you got to have a U.S. citizen to make this thing work.
Oh, such a horrible
and, you know,
thing.
And somehow, no, get this. I mean, even logic would tell you this isn't going to work.
That's right.
But they were putting up by sending a bunch of money overseas to somebody that needed to send back the gold. Now, I've seen two or three of these involved, and not just lay people, not just stupid people. But people that should have known
stupid
better.
Stupid sheep. Yeah, but leaders of churches that have gotten caught in these schemes and have taken their whole church down, Darren, or their church has left and never gone back to church because they have they have lost trust in the church leadership.
Well, they got scammed, and they
couldn't
call it anything else.
Absolutely.
Well,
and
I think you need to stay away from people like that.
That's right. And stay away from people that want to pay you money in exchange for lying for them. And one of the things I remember most is when Jesus stood before the Sanhedrin, the council before his death, and they had hired men to tell lies about Jesus. He was so pure that they had to pay men. Don't ever take money.
That's what you call a setup.
That's right. Don't ever take money from someone and say what they want you to say. Don't ever do that.
Just don't do that. And I'll tell you, a lot of times it isn't just money. Maybe it's influence, or you think you want to be in good with somebody that maybe has the power to promote you. Be careful. Be real careful, because I'll tell you, it will come back to bite you.
That's right. It really will.
Because you're violating basic spiritual laws there. Now, you see, if you drive too fast down a street, which I've done, you get a speeding ticket, which I have received. And it costs me money.
One speeding ticket, Darren.
One at a time, baby. All right, so I broke a law, and the laws are set up in the city and county of Denver that if you break the speeding laws, you're going to get a ticket and you're going to have to pay money. You have to go to court and you plead guilty and all this stuff. Okay, but in the spirit world, a lie breaks a spiritual rule or a spiritual law, and you will pay for that.
Mm-hmm.
You can't say, well, nobody knows but me. Oh, yes, God knows. Mm-hmm. And when you violated that spiritual law in the spirit, there is an infraction. You've committed, as they say in a court system, a tort. You committed a tort or a wrongdoing, and you will pay. Sooner or later, you will pay, because what comes around goes around. Now, the Bible says, what you sow, you reap.
Absolutely, absolutely. So if you exercise having pure hands and pure heart, and if you worship God, and if you tell the truth and don't tell lies, and you stay away from deceitful men, what's your reward? Is there a reward for that? And here in Psalm 25, this is so beautiful, Darren, because I'd like you to read that in your New American Standard, Psalm 25, 12 and 13.
Let me find it. Okay, I've got it down. Psalm 25, 12, and 13.
13, yes.
Who is the man who fears the Lord? He will instruct him in the way he should choose. His soul will abide in prosperity, and his descendants will inherit the land.
Wow. Okay, so he'll live in prosperity, and his children will inherit the land. What a promise.
That means when you fold your arms for the last time, and they put you in a casket, you can know that all is well.
And your children are taken care of.
That
God
your
will take care of them.
Lineage, that, you know, your children and grandchildren are going to be taken care of because you've lived the right lifestyle.
That's right. You know, we think of prosperity as, I don't know why, but people most of the time think of prosperity as money. How much money do you got in the bank? How many IRAs? How many CDs? You know, how much savings? But prosperity is more than that to me, Darren. Prosperity is, like you said, you sat out on the patio, and the feeling was a wonderful feeling of peace that you had. And God promised Jesus, who was the Prince of Peace. We all desire peace. I think we all are searching for peace. And one of the faithful person's rewards is not only the prosperity of having your bills paid and having a wonderful place to live, Psalm 25:13, but your children will be safe, and then you will learn the Lord's covenant and his mysteries, his inner thoughts. Now, I know you love 1 Corinthians 4:4 because it talks about what the diligent servant has. And can you quote most of that Psalm, 1 Corinthians 4:4? I think it's the steward, the mysteries of God.
Okay, you're giving me the wrong reference, but I think I can find it.
1 Corinthians 4:4.
I'm looking for it real quick.
Okay.
Here.
You've quoted, you must have a senior moment.
No, you give me the wrong reference.
Oh, okay, 1 Corinthians 4:1. Is that it then?
Let us regard... Let a man regard us in this manner as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Is that it?
Yes.
Okay, I don't quote that one very often. That's why I didn't know where it was.
I'm sorry. I had the wrong reference, too. 1 Corinthians 4:1, that we are stewards. We are stewards of his mysteries. And when you read 1 Corinthians 2, you find out that Holy Spirit goes into the very mind of God to bring out things for his people.
And Jesus has made unto us wisdom. Now, let me just tell you this. I have made a practice for the last 25 years, probably, maybe 30 years, of saying to Jesus or to Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name, I ask you to go into the depths of God's mind and bring me these answers. Bring me the mysteries.
Mm-hmm.
He's been very faithful to do that.
Yes.
He's brought me mysteries of process. I said, how am I going to pray for people if I don't know how to do this? You've got to teach me how.
That's right. And he's brought you ideas you never thought of.
Never.
You know, one in particular I think of that you've been very successful in. He brought you that idea. And he said, Darren, what do you think about this? Well, I think that's okay, Lord. And he just opened the doors and he completed every transaction to bring that thing to be. And the other day you said, do you know what? I didn't put a dollar of my own money into this whole thing that God did for me. It was him and the blessings of the Lord. And so, you know, you think of things that he does.
One thing, when I was out praying one day, in fact, I can tell you exactly where I was. I was out east of the Fort Collins Airport, right on I-25, but I was up on the top of a hill. And I was praying. I had my communion, I had my Bible, I had my notebook and my pen. And I was saying, and I stumbled onto this revelation. I say stumbled. God gave it to me. And I started asking him for questions, not for answers, but for questions. Then all of a sudden, he said to me, why don't you ask for a quantity discount? Why don't you ask for more than one? Now, I was writing down a question, and when I get it written down, all of a sudden, I'd have the answer. Now, if you're talking to the one that knows, and that's Holy Spirit, I mean, it doesn't get any better than that.
That's right.
I tell you, that's great research. So I started asking him. In fact, I asked him a question. And went like this, give me all the questions that will give me the answers relative to a certain subject. And, you know, he gave me 75 questions in a row, and I was exhausted when I got to the seventh, fifth. I said, wait a minute, I can't take any more. Hold it, Lord. Don't give me any more questions. Now, don't give me any more answers. I didn't say that. I was getting the questions, and that's brilliant, folks. I'm telling you, come around the backside. Said always like I taught in school and like I taught myself in school, you've got to memorize a whole bunch of data because they're going to ask you to regurgitate that on a test. Real wisdom comes in knowing what question to ask.
Mm-hmm. And
so
God,
ask God for the question.
Absolutely. God is the one that knows it all.
That's right.
So great. So Psalm 25, verse 14, friendship with the Lord. And today we're talking about Psalm 24 and 25. Oh, so rich. Such rich scripture. I'll tell you, if you're not reading through the Word with us, friend, you're missing it. You're missing it in 2008. If you would like to have a Word Power for every hour, please call us at 1-866-917-7256, and I'll send one out to you. But here in Psalm 25, verse 14, friendship with the Lord is reserved for those who fear him, who revere him. With them he shares the secrets of his covenant. And that's exactly what you were talking about, Darren, in 25:14.
Well, I'll tell you, those revelations God gave me are such a treasure. I mean, I was in deep prayer. I'd been praying there for quite a while. I was all by myself in the car. I liked to pray in my car. And it was like God was in the front seat with me.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, it came to me like a flash of inspiration. Don't ask for questions. Ask for answers. Ask for questions.
That's right.
Now, the reason... when he gives you a question and you turn around knowing going in that he can answer it, what a relationship. I mean,
that's right. And today we're talking about God, our friend.
Right.
Our God can be also our friend. He wants to be our friend. So what is the faithful person's reward here? We've talked about the first three, to live in prosperity, their children will be safe, to learn the Lord's covenant and his mysteries. And number four, they receive guidance and direction for their lives. They trust the Lord without wavering. They give God permission to test their motives and their affections. And this is in Psalm 26:1 and in Psalm 26:2. What is that in your New American Standard, Darren?
Psalms 26:1 and 2.
Uh-huh.
Vindicate me, O Lord, for I have walked in my integrity, and I have trusted in the Lord without wavering.
Yes.
Now, that's a very, very important thing.
Yes.
You know, I think sometimes we need to go to God and say this very simply. Lord God, would you forgive me for the times I didn't trust you? Mm-hmm. Lord God, will you forgive me for all the times when I didn't ask you and
yes.
I tried to make my life work through reason?
That's right. That's right. And trust in man instead of trusting in you, Lord. And I trust you. And Lord, I've trusted you without wavering. And remind God, I know that, who was it? Was it, I forget the man now. He says, remember me, O Lord, for good. Was it Nehemiah? I believe it was Nehemiah. It said, O Lord, remember me for good. Several times in that book, O Lord, remember me for good. O Lord, remember me for good. And it's so important to tell the Lord, Lord, I have strived to be a Christian. I have strived to be pure before you. And give God permission to test your motives and your affections. It says in Psalm 26:2, put me on trial, Lord, and cross-examine me. Test my motives and affections. And if you really love God, you can do that. Lord, test me, my motives and my affections. I want to serve you and serve you only, Lord.
You know, I would make a modern-day application here for myself. Recently, I asked the Lord to go into my imagination. I said, I don't know what all's there, but you do.
Mm-hmm.
Would you search my imagination and surface anything that doesn't belong there, anything that doesn't please you?
That's right.
I want to repent of it, or I want you to get it out of there. I want you to do deliverance on me. I don't want to have a screwy mind.
I agree. Darren, you know, when you have earthly friends, they can be so flaky sometimes, and they can, you know, walk away from you when
What about relatives?
They can walk away from you, you know, when the times are really hard and you need somebody. But God will never leave you or forsake you, Hebrews 13:5b, and that's so important. Tomorrow we're going to go on with, you know, a faithful person, a person who loves God, a friend of God, has victory over their enemies. And we want you to know that God promises so much for you. He really does. He wants you to enjoy life, have an abundant life, and He is there to be your friend and to give you everything you need for that abundant life.
Thank you for listening to Call to Freedom with Barbara Carmack. You may get in touch with Barbara at Call to Freedom, Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237, or you may leave your message at 1-866-917-7256. Call to Freedom is a listener-supported radio ministry. Barbara and her power partners invite you to come on board with us and become a network of hands holding up Call to Freedom ministry. Power partners support Call to Freedom with prayer and monthly financial support. You will be blessed supernaturally. We invite you to visit Call to Freedom's website, www.freedomstreet.org, where you can hear Barbara's daily radio broadcast 24 hours a day or order materials. You may share your praise reports and heart cries by mailing them to Call to Freedom, Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237, or you may email us at barbaracarmack@freedomstreet.org. Until next time, remember, Jesus loves you, Barbara loves you, and take joy.